Father, we pray that you would calm all of our hearts as we come into your presence here tonight. It has been announced, and it is our desire that our meditation for communion would be briefer this evening than normal. And yet, Father, as we come to the table of remembrance, we do not want our meditation to be careless. We do not want our approach to the table to in any way slight you. We ask that in these briefer minutes that you would come and minister grace to all of our hearts. We're a group here of sinners coming to this sinner's ordinance, and we pray that you would help us as believing sinners to feed on the merits and the work of Jesus Christ. Draw near to us now, we beg in Christ's name. Amen. Well, this evening, I want to do something a little different in letting the illustration of Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, and particularly the burden, to be something of the leading thought of our meditation as we come to the table of remembrance. And as we do so, let me mention that the catalyst is that Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress on Audible Books has been my companion here in a special way for the last days over in India. In minutes when I was getting ready, when I was doing this, whatever, then I would have this on in the background. And I assure you that John Bunyan kept me very good company. And some of these thoughts started then, and I wanted to follow them up here for us this evening. What we have in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress from chapter 6, entitled The Pilgrim Reaches the Place of Deliverance. Now I saw in my dream that the highway up which Christian was to go was fenced on either side with a wall, and that wall was called Salvation. Therefore Christian ran up that way, but not without great difficulty because of the load on his back. So he ran until he came to a place somewhat elevated. Upon that place stood a cross, and below at the bottom there was a tomb. And I saw in my dream that just as Christian came up to the cross, his burden came loose from his shoulders and fell off his back. It began to tumble and continued to do so until it came to the mouth of the tomb. It then fell into the tomb, and I saw it no more. Here is a picture of the one of the original copies of Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, simply to highlight that most of the scripture references that are found in later footnotes were there in the margins for the benefit of those who would participate in it. Here we have a picture of Bunyan in the jail at Bedford. And then on this side, if you can see at the top there, the pilgrim with his burden. So from early 1679, this era of Bunyan, there was the desire to have this kind of thought in our minds. All right. And then we've got him leaving the city of destruction with his large burden of sin on his back. And here he is at the cross, the angels ministering to him, and it has been, the burden of sin has been cut loose. He's been forgiven, and it's fallen into that sepulcher, never to see it again. Now, I want to begin this evening, as you see it on your handout sheet, the emphasis on Pilgrim's burden. Burden, as a word, is used 35 times in Pilgrim's Progress before we come to the point where it is released from his back. In chapter 1, we have this regarding Bunyan. He was in that cave as a reference to the jail in Bedford, and he was dreaming, so he says, but he is focusing on the truths of the scripture. And from the very beginning, see the description of Pilgrim. I saw a man dressed in rags, standing in a certain place, facing away from his own house. He had a book in his hand and a great burden on his back. And as I looked, I saw him open the book and read out of it. And as he read, he wept and trembled, unable to contain himself any longer. He broke out with a sorrowful cry, saying, "What shall I do?" And we find that this emphasis is found further regarding his burden as he breaks the news to his family that he is taking off. "Oh, my dear wife and children, I'm suffering from inner turmoil because of a burden that lays heavily upon me." He's leaving in the sense that he is leaving the city of destruction and going on pilgrimage by means of faith to find relief for this burden of sin. And then, as a later reflection on Pilgrim's testimony, much later in Pilgrim's progress, Piety asked, "And what else did you see in your journey?" "Saw," exclaimed Christian. "Why, I went just a little farther and saw, as I thought in my mind, a man hung bleeding upon a tree. The very sight of him made my burden fall off my back. I had groaned under a weary burden, but then it fell off from me. It was a strange thing to me, for I never saw such a thing before, and while I stood looking up, I couldn't keep from doing so. Three shining individuals came to me. One of them declared that my sins were forgiven. Another stripped me of my rags and gave me this embroidered coat, which you see. And the third set the mark, set upon me the mark you see in my forehead and gave me this sealed document." From Psalm 38 and verse 4, "For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me." And we find the appropriateness in looking back and finding phrase after phrase is drawn from the Word of God. What Spurgeon said, "When you poke a needle in Bunyan, blood doesn't come out, but Bible does." So here is this burden of sin. And he's looking in a book, and the book is guiding him. And we're reminded of how faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. From James, "Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a first kind of first fruits of his creatures." But then consider with me briefly the removal of Pilgrim's burden, the removal of this burden. And here from the section that I already read in your hearing, we have this language again of the burden, but now it's removal. The first footnote there, the walls being called salvation, Isaiah 26 and verse 1. "We have a strong city God will appoint for salvation, for walls and for bulwarks." And he comes into that area of the cross. "I saw in my dream that just as Christian came up to the cross, his burden came loose from his shoulders and fell off from his back." And what we find here is something of the message of how God saves us. God does not save us on the basis of our works, of our merits. But rather, this burden comes loose from his shoulders and falls off from his back, and he falls into the tomb. And Bunyan reflects upon how it was through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ that it came off of his back. Romans 6 and verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. There is something of how the believer comes and looks on the cross, and by means of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a joining together with Christ in his death and his burial and his resurrection. Or as Paul records it in Galatians 2 and verse 19, "For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And another passage, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 11, that says this faithful saying, "For if we died with him, we shall also live with him." Galatians 3 and verse 13, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree.'" And then we read of how Christian was glad and relieved, and how he says with a joyful heart, he speaks of the great relief that God has given through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's see, do I have that? No. The removal here of the burdens. And if we think of this phrase from Bunyan, I'll read it to you again. "He has given me rest from my sorrow and life through his death." Hear the parallel from Romans 5 and verse 10. "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." But then the next thing that Bunyan goes into is something of the angelic helps at the removal of Pilgrim's burden. "Now as Christian stood looking and weeping, three shining ones came to him and greeted him with, 'Peace be to you.'" And we have no way of knowing if there are three angels that come to any particular believer. We do know that they are ministering spirits that are given to encourage us in the way of salvation. But here, Bunyan, without pressing the literalism of his vivid picture for us, the first of the angels brings the message of Christ, "Your sins are forgiven." And he footnotes Mark 2 and verse 5, "When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven you.'" And the word for forgiven is a word that is similarly used for divorce or for the cutting loose of a rope. And it's interesting how he grabs hold of the biblical message in saying that that burden on his back, he didn't get it loose himself, but someone else cut it loose, broke those straps, and it fell from him and went down into the sepulcher. Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are cut loose. If your sins were bound to you as an unbeliever, the moment that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God divorces you from your sin, cuts you loose from them. They fall into the sepulcher, and we see them no more. Another footnote on this is Colossians 2 and verse 13 through 15. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. And one of the wonders of the grace of God's salvation is the definitive nature of forgiveness. Once God cuts us loose from our sin, he never pulls the burden back up out of the sepulcher and reattaches it to us and ties the straps together in a knot to bear us down. We're to get this, that even when we mess up, even when we fall flat on our faces, God's forgiveness, God's having cut us loose from our sins stands firm. Your sins are forgiven. The second one stripped him of the rags he was wearing and clothed him with rich garments. And in another place, being clothed in the rags, Bunyan footnotes Isaiah 64 and verse 6, where he talks about all of our righteousness appears as filthy rags in the sight of God. That's what we have to offer. God is not impressed. He has the forgiveness through Jesus Christ to offer. And then from Zechariah 3 and verse 1, in this context of the forgiveness and the ministry of the angel of the Lord, then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And Jehovah said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "See, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes." And I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. So again, though I am not suggesting that in your individual experience or in mine, that an actual angel comes and appears to us, or even works behind the scenes in taking off the rags of our own righteousness and clothes us with the garment of Christ. This is one of the illustrations that is used of our standing before God. And then the third set a mark on his forehead and gave him a document with a seal on it. And here, Bunyan footnotes Ephesians 1 and verse 13 and 14. "In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory." Here, the Holy Spirit is likened to a seal. And you may remember from our study of Ephesians years ago, where that seal, a merchant may have, he does have his own unique seal. And if he's got barrels and barrels of goods in this ship, and another merchant's got his barrels in there, there will be that wax mark on each one of them, and that which belongs to me has my seal and stamp on it, so that when we arrive at the promised port, we'll know exactly what barrels belong to me and what barrels belong to you. And the picture is this. When we arrive at the harbor of heaven, the Holy Spirit will claim his own. But all along the way, even though we're not there yet, there was something of this stamp and this seal of the Holy Spirit on us. There is something of a down payment that God the Spirit has put upon us, giving us the assurance of our own salvation that we will eventually arrive there at heaven. But then I hasten on to consider something of the emotional responses to the removal of pilgrim's burden. And here I'm going back before this actually appears in his text, before the word concerning the three angels. Then he stood still a while to look and wonder, for he was very surprised that the sight of the cross should ease him of his burden in such a way. He looked, therefore, and looked again until the springs in his head sent their waters flowing down his cheeks. And here it appears that Bunyan is thinking of Zechariah 12 and verse 10, "And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me," Jehovah speaking, "they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn." Have you ever been around parents who are grieving the death of a child? There is horrendous grief that is experienced. And God says that when those who believe in Jesus Christ as Jehovah Jesus, and yet the one who is pierced for us, that our feelings will be something like parents who are grieving over an only son who has been lost. Get the picture? Once again, that he looks and he looks again. How can this be? I simply look at the cross and the burden that has been weighing me down all of this time and causing me to go on this pilgrimage, all of a sudden it's gone in a moment as I believe in Jesus Christ. And then another emotional response that we find in Bunyan's account is that Christian gave three leaps for joy and continued on his way singing. For the moment, let's begin with the three leaps for joy. It's in Luke 6 and verse 23 that we read, "Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation." And Bunyan is reaching into a passage where Jesus, it's similar to the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are you, the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you and they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy." It's a picture of a believing sinner who's come to rest on the Lord Jesus Christ, and our Lord says an appropriate emotional response is to leap for joy. So it's not surprising that Bunyan writes of these three leaps for joy and continued on his way singing. Here's his song. Thus far did I come laden with my sin, nor could aught ease the grief that I was in. Till I came hither, what a place is this? Must here be the beginning of my bliss? Must here the burden fall from off my back? Just here the strings that bound it to me crack? Blessed cross, blessed sepulcher, blessed rather be the man that was there put to shame for me. So as we come to the table of remembrance, we remind ourselves that the Lord's Supper is a sinner's ordinance. Are you mindful of falling flat on your face in recent days? It's still a service for you. If you come to Christ in faith, if you own that sin, if you resolve to make it right, if you will use this ordinance as another statement that I am determined to go on in the way of Jesus Christ, and I am determined to follow him for the glory of God. And even whatever it is that I've done, I see the message that Bunyan has grasped here with the straps cracking as God breaks them and cuts him loose from his sin, and it falls into the sepulcher, never to be seen again. May God give us joy as we come to the table of remembrance. May God give us the kind of spiritual joy that wants to sing, that wants to leap three times with delight for the wonderful favor. For you remember how Bunyan in his Pilgrim tried this and he tried the other, went to worldly wise men. He tried works righteousness. He tried this way to get rid of the burden and it wouldn't do. And then all of a sudden he looks at the cross and the sins are gone. May God minister grace to us as we remember Christ in this supper of remembrance. Let's pray. Father, draw near to us as we continue in this service before you. Help us, each one of us, to examine ourselves. Help us to honestly acknowledge the sin that yet clings to us, and yet give us delight that in the midst of still being sinners, of still having the remnants of sin, that you have forgiven us of all of them. You have cut us loose from them, and we are not to see them anymore. Thank you, Father, for forgetting our sins. Thank you for casting them behind your back. Thank you for blotting them out from your sight. Thank you for casting them into the depths of the sea. And thank you for removing them as far as the east is from the west. We pray that you would give your grace and help to us in days ahead to fulfill the vows that we make as we pledge afresh to walk in the ways of Jesus Christ. It's in his matchless name that we pray. Amen.